How's everybody doing today? Everybody feeling all right? Today, if you're taking notes, I want to talk to you on the topic, now is the time. Now is the time. How about you tell your neighbor, now is the time. Turn to the other person, tell them, I didn't forget about you. Now really is the time. Now. Some people are like, I don't like this. I don't, you know. But it's good. It's good to interact with people in the house of God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at one verse from there and then go onward. Today's more of a personal word for me. I mean, every time I preach, it's a personal word. I'm not trying to preach anything that doesn't apply to me first. But as I preach, there's some things on my heart I kind of want to share. But this is really kind of what I've been chewing on this week and thinking about this week. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at just two verses, well, actually three verses. We're going to look at verses 15 and onward. This is in the context of Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. It's a church that he is trying to encourage to stay in unity, a church that he's trying to encourage to continue to be light. A church that he's trying to encourage in many ways to just fulfill the call of God that he's put on their lives. And so Ephesians 5, 15 to 17, it says this. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are, what word is it? Evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Look carefully how you walk. Examine your ways. Look carefully how you live your life. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time. Other translations say making the most of every opportunity. For the days are evil. What does that mean? The days are evil. Does it mean like, you know, every time you walk up, it's not, today's not a good day. It's an evil day. That's very depressing. You know, like no one wants to wake up with that. Now, what does it mean? It means that the time by which you're living in, the environment, the culture, the very means by which the world turns is towards evil. It means that another way you can translate this is that the days are fleeting, that the days that we have, they crumble through our hands. Ecclesiastes talks about that man's life is but like a breath. And wisdom in life is shown by how you use the time that God has given you. And so today I want to talk to you about time. Everyone say time. Time is so important. Time is such an important thing to God, but it's something that, at least for me, we don't, or most of us in general, at least in the church, we don't really talk a lot about time. But Abraham Heschel, he wrote this book called The Sabbath. He was a Jewish mystic who wrote a book about the Sabbath. It's a really famous book on what the Sabbath is. And something he points out is that in Genesis chapter 2, we find that when God creates the heavens and the earth, he creates the days, he creates the sea, he creates man. He doesn't make, you know, the sun holy. He doesn't make the vegetation holy. He doesn't make man holy. The first thing that God makes holy actually is time. In Genesis chapter 2, the first verses, it says that on the seventh day, God rested from all his labor. He had completed everything that he set out to do. He had made everything. He had made the skies, the heavens, and the earth. He'd made the fish in the sea. He'd made the lions and the armadillo. He did not make the mosquito. Satan made that. You know what I'm saying? Me and my wife, we were trying to think through where to go for a baby moon, you know, because I guess that's not really common, but we were like, it's a thing now, so we're going to go on a baby moon. What is a baby moon? It's like a honeymoon, but a baby. Okay, anyways, you're celebrating your last few days of freedom. Because once the baby comes, I mean, life is no longer about you and your marriage for like at least 18 years or 15 or 12. I don't know what culture you're from, but depending on where you're from. And for me as the husband, life stopped being about me a long time ago, you know. I got up there and I said, "Will you go out on a date with me?" And she said, "Yes." And life stopped being about me. But we were thinking of going to Baby Moon. I don't know why I'm talking about this. Mosquitoes, right? But we really want to go to Thailand, but we can't go to Thailand because of mosquitoes, because of the Zika virus. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today, but I'm just really disappointed. I'm really sad. We were really looking forward to that. God makes time holy. It says he rests from his labor in Genesis chapter 2. It says that he rests, and that's where we see the implementation of the Sabbath. And it says that God looks back on that day, and it says he blessed that day, and he made it holy. The first thing that God made holy, think about this for a moment, was not a place. It wasn't a building. It wasn't the garden. He wasn't like, here's this place where you will worship me, and this is the most important thing. He didn't make man the first thing that was holy. Yeah, think about that. A man was different, very good and very important in God's eyes. But we don't see God saying, well, this is man and man is holy. It says that God makes time holy. He sets apart time because ultimately all these other things have to take place in the context of time. Right? I mean, if you think about it, time is the most important thing we've been given. It is in the context of time by which we live. It's in the context of time that we have our relationships, that we work, that we eat. It's in the context of time that we build relationships. It's with time that we invest our gifts. It's with time that we can worship. It's in time that we grow, that we change. If you think about our life, we measure our life in not the span of accomplishments, but in time, right? When someone dies, you don't say, okay, well, how many places did they go to? How do we measure it? Time. That person was this many years old. That person, they had this many days. We measure it according to time because time is the most important gift we've been given. Depending on where you're from, you have different attitudes towards time, right? If you live in Korea, time is all about it. It is a commodity for you to get the most done, right? And it's all about what's next. Like everybody's running to something in Korea, right? When I first moved to Korea back in 2007, I first came as an exchange student. I was flabbergasted. I was bamboozled. I was like, why is everybody running? Did you not think that? Maybe you're from New York and you were like, why is everybody so slow? But for me, when I came to Korea, I remember being so perplexed by why everybody was always in a rush. Why are we trying to do so much in this time? You know, you ever notice like when you're in the subway and you're going to the subway or even when you're getting into the car, like there's a guy watching the door. Like, obviously he's going to let everybody get in, but people push you anyways. Like, like they're the first in line and they turn around and push you and walk in. Like they're constantly, everyone's always just bali bali. That's the culture, right? Bali bali, to those who don't speak Korean, it means, I forgot what it means. What does it mean? Hurry, hurry, right? My life is always in a rush. It's all about what's next. In the southeastern United States, where I'm from, we call it the South. Obviously, it's not the most South thing in the world. That shows you how selfish Americans are. It's the South. Where I'm from, in the South, we treat time completely different. As in, like when me and my wife first got married, now, things have changed now that she's pregnant, right? I'm the fast walker now. She's like, slow down. But when we first got married, she would always get so frustrated because I would walk so slow. She'd be going somewhere, and I'd just be like. And she's like, can you hurry up? And I'm like, the place is going to be there. It's not going to change. Like, we got more than enough time, right? Some of us are the people who we maximize our time. We get out our planners and we plan everything from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep. We got any people like that? We get totally... You put them on blast. That's great. We're the super planners when it comes to time, right? We wake up in the morning, we plan everything, and we get frustrated if anybody's 5 minutes late. Whereas some of us, we procrastinate. You know, there's these articles that come out nowadays that talk about how procrastination, creative people procrastinate. That's just to help our consciences. We have different aspects about time. For some of us, time is about what's next. And we're constantly pushing forward for what's next. But for some of us, it's all about what's not yet. And so we're constantly pushing away time. But we see in the Bible that the Bible talks about not just the next or the not yet, but actually about how we spend now. One of my favorite verses comes from Romans chapter 13. It says, now, besides, you know the time, for now is the time for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is closer to you now than when you first believed. Therefore, you should take off the clothing of darkness and put on the armor of light. The Bible talks about how we should see now as the time for us to transform and grow. That now is the time for us to awaken out of our lifestyles that might be headed towards destruction. Now is the time for us to make the change. Now is the time for us to step into what God has for us. Now is the time to wake from sleep, because salvation is closer now than when you first believed. We see it in the life of Jesus. You look in Matthew chapter 4, it says that when Jesus was baptized and he walks up to the disciples, we find that Jesus walks up to them and they're fishermen. And he walks up to these guys and they're fishing, and Jesus walks up and he says, come, follow me. And you don't hear them saying, in a minute, Jesus. Maybe, Jesus, I got some other things to take care of first. It says immediately they dropped everything and followed him. Now they follow Jesus. You can contrast this to in Luke chapter 9, where Jesus walks up to people in Luke chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn there. I want you to see the importance of now in the Bible. Luke chapter 9, it's in verse 59. It's the last part of that chapter. It says that Jesus walks up to a group of people, and to one he says, hey, follow me. But he says, Lord, let me go first bury my father. And Jesus says to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another says, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those who are at home. Give me 5 minutes. Give me some time. And Jesus says to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. There's this concept in the Bible that delayed obedience is actually disobedience. That God puts so much importance on the now moment in our life that when he speaks, that when he comes in and even thinks he's already said to us, he's looking for us to take advantage of that moment now. That now is the time. Not later. But now. Somebody say now. Now. Even in Proverbs, there's this verse in Proverbs that I try to skip over sometimes. Because it talks about now. As you can tell, I'm talking about now so strongly because I am a master procrastinator. You hear people chuckle because they're like, I sent you an email 5 years ago. And I'm still waiting for a reply. But there's so much importance in now. Proverbs 3:27-28, it says, do not withhold good from from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Think about that. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Meaning that when you have a moment to do something good, the Bible says you should do it then. You shouldn't wait. You shouldn't think about it. You shouldn't get enough information to figure out whether or not it's the right decision. You should do it. Erwin McManus says the most spiritual decision that we make, the most spiritual thing we do as Christians is actually just to choose. To make a decision. To do something now. Proverbs continues. He says, this is the part where I kind of go past it. It says, do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. And tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Meaning that if you owe your neighbor money and he comes to you and he's like, hey, you going to pay me back? Don't say I'll pay you back tomorrow when you've got $5 in your pocket. He says, do it now. Because the Bible puts so much importance on now. Yeah. The question I feel like God's putting on my heart for you guys today is, what is he calling you to do now? What is God saying for you to do today? As much as it is called today, encourage each other, the Bible says. As long as it is called today. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow because it has enough trouble of its own. But instead, just concern yourself for today. Because procrastination can be the biggest hindrance to our purpose. Not taking hold of what God's trying to do now can be our greatest hindrance to being faithful. It can also hinder our lives and relationships in ways that we don't quite see until it's too late. The reason I'm preaching this message and the reason why I'm thinking about now so much is because my week has been a picture of learning this lesson. On Sunday, after church last week, I got a text message. My mom tried to call me. Now, once again, talking about now, when your mama calls, pick up now. My mama called, and I was like, not yet. I was doing something. I was doing something. Don't judge me. So I'm like, you didn't answer your mom. Some moms in the room are like, you sound just like my son. He's always busy. My mom called. I wasn't able to pick up in the moment. And so she sent me a text message. And she sent me a text message telling me that my grandmother on my dad's side was put into hospice. And so if you don't know what hospice is the place, at least in the States, I don't know if they have hospice here. It's not a nursing home, but it's a place where you go when there's nothing more the hospital can do for you. And my grandmother, she had cancer. And so she had actually been diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago. But on Sunday night, I found out. That was when I actually found out she had cancer. My story is that me and my dad, I didn't meet my dad until I was 13, and so I was fairly estranged from that side of the family. I did spend time with my grandmother and my grandfather on my dad's side. Growing up, I would go over to their house. I would go over there and spend time with them. I would ask them, like, do you know anything about my dad? Have you ever seen anything? Have you heard anything? And so I had like a relationship with my grandmother until I was in college. I think it was my sophomore year. My sophomore year in college, when I found out a few things about my dad and about my dad's side of the family. I can't get into all the details, but I found out some things that for me were so painful that I had to kind of walk away from the relationship for a bit. I don't know if you've ever had that. I mean, I know we all have pain in our lives. Sometimes you go through pain and it's possible to work it out very quickly. Sometimes that pain is so deep that you need some time to actually distance yourself. You got to distance yourself so you can get healed from it, so you can work it out. And forgiveness, you can forgive someone, but not necessarily be immediately back in the relationship with them. And so I'd forgiven my grandmother. I'd forgiven my grandfather. And I'd not felt like it was time for me to be in relationship with them. Except for maybe the last time I went back to the States this past summer. But there was something inside of me that was like, you know what, I'm not ready to go over. I'm not ready to just pop in and say hello. And so I get this text message on Sunday night. And the text message says, you know, Marcus, call. You need to call. And so I talk to my mom briefly, and she lets me know, what, hey, your grandmother's in hospice. They're not sure how much more time she's got. Here's the number to the hospice if you want to call her. My mom gives me the number. Okay, thanks, Mom. You know what? I talked to my wife. I'm like, you know what? Actually, I think I should call. But I was like, but I don't feel ready. I don't know if I should call right now. And when I evaluated my heart, I was like, yeah, I want to call, but it's going to be so hard to have this conversation. Is she going to feel like I'm just doing it because she's sick? Is it all these things? Like, even though God makes it very clear that we should seek reconciliation, even though I could sense God's whispering to me, Marcus, this is the right thing to do and you should do it now, I put it off. I thought, okay, well, let me talk to my uncle and then maybe I'll be able to call. I'll try to call on Tuesday or Wednesday. And then Tuesday morning, I get up and I find out that she passed. I thought I had 2 weeks. Well, I didn't have 1 day. I thought I had time. No, I thought we'd be able to have multiple conversations and when things would work out and I'd be able to, God, I know you were saying that I needed to do it then. But now there's no more time. Now I worked through it. You know, I came before God and I felt his grace and I let go of the guilt that I felt. You know, I felt this overwhelming guilt, but God gave me grace, saying, like, Marcus, you know, over the years it was a two-way street. You could have, but they didn't. And so some of you might be thinking, well, Marcus, just forgive yourself. Let it go. And, you know, I took some time to grieve and to mourn, and I'm still in the process of that. And it's not something that happens in a day. I'm still grieving and mourning as I'm talking to you right now. But what is coming from it more than anything else is this sense that, man, I shouldn't have put off to tomorrow what I could do today. I could have called. I could have had that conversation. I could have stepped out and just simply said, hey, I know we haven't talked. I know things have been estranged, but I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I care about you. I want you to know that despite everything that's happening, I've let it go. and ask that you would forgive me. Like, we could have had that conversation, but me putting it off to tomorrow caused me to miss it. And it's made me think about how many times in our lives do we put off things to tomorrow that God's telling us to do today? You know, in the Word of God, God makes a lot of things clear. We always ask God, like, God, give me new revelation. Give me new revelation. Give me new revelation. But what about what God's already revealed? You know, God's already told us to love one another. You don't need a prophetic word. You don't need an angel to come. You don't need like the clouds to turn into a heart in order to love one another. You don't need it. The Bible already says, love one another. You don't need the circumstances to be right to forgive. Because you don't know how much time. God already says, forgive one another from your heart. It makes me think of how many things in our lives do we put off to tomorrow thinking we have time. Not realizing that now is the time. Maybe you're here in this room and you're not a Christian and you're thinking like, you know what? I got time. Let me figure this out. Let me get enough things. But you don't know how much time you have. Now is the time. Because you might not have tomorrow. How many things that God's already spoken to you? You know, he'd already spoken to me. Every time I read the Bible and it says reconcile, love one another with brotherly love, forgive. And it talks about even in your own families that we should reach out to one another. That if you have a family member in need, that you should reach out to them. That those who are sick and poor, you should pray for them. You should provide for them. You should contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. You should abhor what is evil. You should hold fast to what is good. We don't need another word for that. Yeah. You don't need another day for that. You can do it today. Yeah. And the thing about God is that God never calls you to do something that he hasn't already given you the power to do. Mm-hmm. See, when Christ went to the cross on your behalf, he dealt with everything that had made you powerless to live this life out. That's why eternal life is knowing Jesus. Because on the other side of that knowledge of who he is, he gives us his spirit, his presence, his word, and the constant confidence that he is with us and enabling us in every area of our life, each and every day, to do the things that we feel like we can't do today. Yeah. What is it that he said to you already? What are things that God's already told you to do? What are conversations maybe you need to have? Who's someone maybe you need to call? Who's someone you need to confront? What's a step of faith that God's already told you to take? The time is now. I share this not to beat you down. It's the last thing I feel like God wants to do today. I share my life to say that I think that for so many of us, there's so much amazing things that are on the other side of us making a decision and taking a step today. You know what I mean? You guys hearing me today? And God doesn't say it to condemn you for the things that maybe you haven't done. It's not about you feeling regret for, you know what, I should have had that conversation last week. You know what, 2 years ago, I should have did that. No. That's not the question. The question is, what is he calling you to do today? The Bible says that everything we need for life and godliness is already at work in us. It says that everything we need to live it out today, we have. And now is the time to just step into it. Amen. Looking out, I see a lot of you are thinking deeply. That's okay. I see maybe that there's things that you need to, even as you leave this room, maybe even within this room, as we say benediction, you need to walk across the room and talk to somebody. Be civil, please. Maybe there's someone you need to call. But you're not alone in it. God's in it. He's here with you. And he's continuing to call you to move forward. I'll close with this before I pray. You know, I experienced God's grace this week as I've been thinking through the things that I put off to tomorrow that I should do today. When I called my mom again. And I called her, and I'd also talked with Anna. And so I experienced it through both of them. But I was talking to my mom, and I was just experiencing so much. I was expressing all this regret. And my mom's not a rebuking type of person. She's Southern, so she's this is where we're trying to get. She goes this way. So she's not like, you just need to do this. She's like, well, have you thought about... And then by the end of the conversation, I'm like, you just rebuked me. She's like, I did? You know? Oh, my God, you're too sweet. And somehow you still got it done. You know, I was like mourning. And I was like, Mom, I feel so sad. I feel so much regret. And she said, you know, Marcus, like, it's happened. There's nothing you can do about it now. You know, you need to grieve. You need to mourn. But you know what, Marcus? Your other grandmother's still alive. You should give her a call. Your uncle's still alive. Anna's family's still around. And I'm like, listening to her. I'm like, Marcus, you got a baby on the way. You better prepare. What can you do now? And I was like, you know what, Mom? You're right. Once again, like, am I? That's what God's saying to you today. What's around now that you can still act on? What can you do today? Now is the time. Let's pray.